kind of funny how you see people grow in the gospel and in the church. And I remember when those little girls were little and they used to come up here and sing Don't Step Here. And where's the time go, huh? But nevertheless, it's a blessing to be able to see them giving back to the Lord and singing praises unto Him. So I'm thankful for that and to be able to see that. I'm also thankful for my brother here. You know, I really do enjoy his company and the opportunities that we have to serve the Lord together. We have good times and we enjoy the company of each other. Well, at least I know I enjoy his. I'm not so sure about him with me. But nevertheless, you know, I'm looking forward to continuing to work with him in the gospel and with the youth and all that we do. It's fun, and we try to make it enjoyable for everybody that's around us, but most importantly, to bring the message of the Lord. And I know that that's why my brother is about to stand before you, because he has given his heart to the Lord, and the Lord knows what's on his heart, and that's to serve him to the best of his ability. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and give it over to my brother, Adam Yates.
Thank you, Gary. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. All right, thank you. It's getting to be summertime and travel time. I know there's less of us, which means we got to be that much more excited when somebody says good evening or good morning. You can see up here that I have a message that I want to bring today, and I'll tell you that this is a topic that's been on my heart for a couple of weeks. The message I'm going to talk about is the struggle for power, and I feel like, you know, this is a topic. It's been preached before. I know that many of these things that, you know, my Uncle Joel and some of his lessons on spiritual warfare and things, you know, it comes up, and you know, this particular topic and this concept that I'm going to talk about tonight is as basic a principle as a gospel, as some of the things that we recognize. This understanding that there is a struggle for power that is going on. And you see, I've got this picture up here, and really this in some ways kind of illustrates where I see each one of us and where I see myself, in that there is a good and there is a bad that is constantly pulling at us. And not necessarily pulling, but trying to encourage or trying to exhibit or exert or have us allow them to have power in our life. And so I want to take a few moments tonight to talk about this, to have you consider a few things. You know, and I'll tell you that there's a result of this, or this thought is a result of a blessing. And I'd shared it at our last prayer service, was that, you know, I'd been having a struggle in my mind, a struggle of some of the events that have happened in my life in the last several months, and a reliving of all these things, and a thinking about all of these issues that were frustrating and hurtful and over again going over it in my mind. And as often as I would try to put it from my mind, you know, I would only have a few moments reprieve, and then it would come back and I would struggle with it again. And my wife and I, we put it to fasting and prayer. And the Lord gave me a release from that struggle that I was having. But as I thought about it and as I considered it, what I realized was that there was a struggle that was going on for control of my mind, of my actions, of my thoughts. And so I just want to talk about that tonight as we go forward here. 2 Nephi chapter 1, 99 verse 100 says, "Wherefore the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself. Wherefore, man could not act for himself, save it should be that he was enticed by the one or the other." And so, you know, there's this concept that we understand that we have this right to choose. We have this free will. It's this thing that the Lord has given us. We are able to make a determination on our actions. We're able to make a determination on our thoughts. You know, in my life, there was a time in my life where I struggled very, very much with anger. And I came to a point in my life where I decided I am not going to allow anger to own me anymore. It was a conscious thought. It took effort on my part and some soul searching and some prayer, but you know, I had the choice to take action. But in the meantime, there was always something that was enticing me to push me towards action. Man, we know each one of us, we have this right to make our own choice, but there is always competing things trying to exert themselves on us. The Lord trying to speak to us, and Satan trying to exert his power on us. This is something we know and we recognize, but I want us to spend some time tonight thinking about this particular thing. Alma chapter 3, verses 57 and then 62 to 64. Behold, and this is speaking of our Savior. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them. And he saith, repent, and I will receive you. Verse 62, behold, I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call you. Yea, and in his own name he doth call you, which is the name of Christ. And if you will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which you are called, behold, you are not the sheep of the good shepherd. And now, if you are not the sheep of the good shepherd, of what fold are ye? You know, we have this understanding that, you know, the Lord is sending an invitation to mankind. He is sending an invitation to have his arms of mercy extended. He's sending this invitation to be one of his children, to be one of his sheep. He gives this invitation, but he doesn't force us. He offers it. He asks for us to allow him to have power in our life, in our thoughts, in our actions. You know, the Lord is desiring this of us. He calls to us. Sometimes, you know, you may have heard or felt his calling you, this yearning in your soul to change. This thought that, you know, you can't continue in the path that you've been in. The Lord is calling to you. He's not going to force you to change, but he's giving an invitation. And as often as we feel that invitation from the Lord, we oftentimes feel that invitation and that calling from Satan. This is the power struggle that we find ourselves living in, and one which we're going to find ourselves engaged in throughout the time that we are living here on this earth. That there is always going to be this struggle for power. Us in the middle of two opinions, of two different things that are speaking to us, that are whispering to us, that are trying to encourage us one way or the other. And we constantly have a choice that we have to make. So I have some thoughts here, you know, as I consider this. You know, how do we find this in action every day? This invitation. Have you ever had the thought come into your mind to call someone? To call and to encourage someone? To ask them how they're doing? Have you ever had that happen to you? Where all of a sudden some thought come into your mind, you know, I haven't talked to so-and-so for a while. You know, I had a thought come into my mind the other day that there was someone in particular I had to pray for. And I began to pray for this person. And sure enough, a few days later, this person contacted me and had a problem. You know, have you ever had that happen? Have you ever had some situation begin to bring up emotions of anger or frustration? Anybody have that happen? Ever had it happen out of the blue? It comes out of nowhere. You're sitting there mowing your lawn, and all of a sudden you remember something that your brother did to you months ago. There's an invitation that's being offered to you there. Have you ever had sudden compassion for someone? I've had that before. You know, I've had that sometimes. You know, we see these people all the time standing on the side of the road. It seems like more and more, the sign in their hand. And, you know, especially considering the line of work that I'd been in, you know, you get to be relatively callous to those things. But there's been times where I've seen somebody and all of a sudden the Lord, you know, sent this invitation. I felt compassion for them. I felt a sense of concern and wanting to do what I could for them. You know, there's an invitation. Have you ever had the desire to share something embarrassing or something shameful that someone else did? There is an invitation there. Have you felt the need to apologize to someone? Some of these things that we're bringing up, you know, are not necessarily natural thoughts to us. We might find ourselves in the mix of an emotion, but this definitive action that we feel this invitation to do is not necessarily natural. You know, it's not always natural to us to apologize to someone. Have you ever felt that? You know, when we were at uh, When we were at ministers' conference, there was a conversation going on, and boy, there was a testimony that was shared, and I really appreciated it. Our brother, Stephen Gould, he shared this testimony that he was in college, and they were getting ready to go up to the local to have sacrament, and they were borrowing somebody's car. He was a passenger in the car. And they all got in the vehicle and began to drive. And as he was driving, the Lord told him, you know, you're not ready to take sacrament. You need to go to this sister, to this woman. You need to go to apologize to her. And he thought, I don't know that I've ever done anything to her. And the Lord told him, you need to do this. And so he asked the driver, would you turn around? Would you go back? He went to this girl's house, and he's telling the Lord as he goes, you know, it's Sunday. She's not even going to be home. And he knocks on the door, and she opens up the door. And he said, you know, I had to come and you know, the Lord told me, I had to come and I had to ask your forgiveness. Have I done something to offend you? And she says, actually, yes, you did. And he had that opportunity. You know, there was an invitation that was offered to him, something that he hadn't even considered necessarily. Here's one. Man, I have this happen. Have you ever had a sinful or a distracting thought interjected into your mind? Has it ever happened during prayer? That frustrates me. It frustrates me when I'm going about my day and all of a sudden some sinful thought just interjected into my mind. Sometimes, you know, as I'm in prayer, all of a sudden my mind is distracted. Something I need to do later. Something going on, you know. And in these things that come up, there's an invitation. Have you felt directed to enter into prayer? Have you ever felt ashamed to pray for forgiveness or to ask the Lord for help? You know, in each one of these bullet points I have here, and you can see I've separated them side to side, those things that are obvious good things and those things that are obvious offering up of temptation or of an invitation to carry on in some further sin. These are things that we find ourselves every day. I know that you go through this. I go through this every day. And there are these things that are always at work, offering before us. I believe the Lord is there. He's offering. He wants to speak to us, and He's encouraging us with compassion, encouraging us to reach out to someone, you know, and there's Satan there. He's encouraging us. You know, that situation I talked about, He was encouraging me to become angry. He was encouraging me. You know, He didn't make me. He offered it up to me. It was there. The offering was there, and I had a choice that I had to make in this competition for power in my life. So who has power? We know that God has power. Jeremiah 27:5, I've made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. Isaiah 20:28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. You know, I just picked two simple scriptures here, and they're probably not the best to demonstrate this, but we recognize that God is able to offer up to us blessing. He is able to offer up to us encouragement. He is able to offer up to us peace, strength, blessing. He's only able to offer it up to us. We don't have to accept of it, but He has the power to do these things. He has the power to bless. He has the power to encourage. This is a power that He has. He has access to our mind. He's able to speak to us. He's not going to make us take action, but He is able to speak to us. The devil has power. Job 1:12, the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. And so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You know, Job, this is the story of Job, and we recognize that, you know, Satan had some ability to have some effect in Job's life. We know in the temptation of Christ, you know, that Satan was able to offer up things to Him. He had the power to do it. And I don't know, I've heard conversation before, and I guess I don't have a firm opinion on it as to whether or not Satan was able to do what he offered. But he certainly had the power to offer it in all of its seeming reality to the Savior. to offer it up for him to consider. And it was Christ's opportunity to make that decision. You know, the devil has opportunity. He has access to us. Just as the Lord has access to whisper to us, to speak to us, to encourage us, Satan also has that access to us, to whisper to us, to speak to us, to encourage us. And we know we need to recognize that we are in this world of competing powers. And of course, we have power. Man has power. 2 Nephi, that would be chapter 1, verse 117, sorry. 2 Nephi chapter 1, verse 117, "And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves, and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at that great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given unto them which are expedient unto man, and they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil." Just as I opened with, you know, that we have this right to act for ourselves. We have a right to make a decision on the course of our life. We have a right to decide how we're going to speak to one another. We have a right to choose where we put our efforts and all those things. And we have this power. But there is going to be these things that are offered up unto us. And we need to be considering all of these things. What we do when these thoughts come into our mind. What direction we go with it. How does righteousness happen? Moroni chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. It says, "Wherefore all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy to God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to do sin, and to do that which is evil continually. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve Him is inspired of God." And so how does righteousness happen? Is when we accept of that invitation by the Lord to do those good things. You know, Satan doesn't have the ability to handle good. He's not able to do it. He's not able to offer it. Just as the Lord is not able, He doesn't have the ability to handle evil. So when we're looking to serve the Lord in righteousness, and we come in these times in our life where we have thoughts or we have situations that are offered up to us, you know, if we want to be righteous, it should be relatively easy to us to understand which is of God and which is of Satan. It invites us to do good, and that's the direction if we want to be righteous, we're obviously supposed to go. But a lot of that depends on how we're looking at things. And we'll continue to talk about that. This word entice, it means to incite, to allure in a good sense. That word invite, to allure, to draw to tempt to come, to induce by pleasure or hope. You know, the Lord, He invites us, He incites us, He allures us to do those good things. He invites us to do good, to draw us to good things, to draw us to a good end. And Satan does the same thing, except to that carnal end. You know, so oftentimes I find that when I have a situation that comes up in my mind, that oftentimes the thing that seems to be most difficult is oftentimes the right thing to do, because it goes against my nature. When it's offered up to me, when I've done something and I've hurt somebody's feelings, you know, the opportunity is there. The offering is there. I can handle it, go to them, talk to them, ask forgiveness, or I can do what seems easiest to me and I can walk away and try to forget about it and leave those things, those wounds open and ignore it, you know. And so one thing that we can understand and that we should look at is so oftentimes what the Lord wants us to do goes against our very nature, and yet Satan wants to speak to our nature. The easiness of humanity. He invites us to do what seems easiest, but in the end it only leads to more sorrow and more pain. We'll continue here with this thought. James 1 and 13 through 14. or through 15. Man, I've got some typos here. I went over this a couple times. James 1, 13 through 15. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. You know, we oftentimes consider this word lust to be in a sexual manner, but it's really not in here. That word lust comes from the Greek 1939, and it means a longing, especially for that which is forbidden. You know, we find ourselves in our humanness, we do have longings for things. We have longings for pleasure. We have longings for security. We have longings for those things. You know, a lot of it, we have longings for what seems to be survival, right? Those things that make sense to us. We have longings for our own pleasure. And whatever that is, it's not necessarily this word lust in a sexual connotation. It's this lust for my own pleasure, whatever's easiest for me. You know, it's a whole lot more difficult and uncomfortable for me to go and to try to undo what I've done. And, you know, as that human thought is there, that human thought, that the discomfort in going to someone else, and I'm just choosing that, asking forgiveness, but you know, that discomfort, that thought, that trepidation of having to go and confess a fault or something like that, you know, therein, there comes this offering in front of us of the Lord and of Satan. You know, what direction do you want to go? Do you want to go and pursue that which is good, which has a fruit that will be pleasurable in the end, though it might cause a little bit of difficulty in going and in humility? Or would you like to go and be hardened and feed this lust of the flesh, this longing for what is easier, what is more pleasurable? You know, we know these things, but we need to consider this, because this particular thing plays out day by day. Every day this is playing out in our life, and every day we're making decisions. And you know, one thing that we need to understand is you know, every time that we give in, every time that we give in to what is this direction of the carnal man, it becomes that much more difficult to go the other direction. It becomes more difficult to think of doing things the Lord's way, because we find this ease of way. It's one of the things that Satan does when we begin to sin, and I think this is in this next scripture. You know, he begins to tell us all is well. It's okay. It's all right. You know, you didn't handle this, you know, this situation right, but it's fine. It's okay. You can continue on and nothing is any different. You know, we can find ourselves beginning to be overwhelmed by sin and overwhelmed and become buried in it. And so this is something we need to be constantly aware of, that sin happens because it's offered up before us. And we have a choice that we have to make. 2 Nephi chapter 12, I'm going to read 24 through 28, scriptures that are familiar here. Behold, at that day, speaking of Satan, he shall rage in the hearts of the children of men, and to stir them up to anger against that which is good. You know, he stirs them up, but he doesn't force them to anger against that which is good. All he does is he puts the thought. He gives them and offers them up the opportunity. And others will he pacify, and lull them away into carnal security, and they'll say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. You know, it's okay where we're at. Everything's fine. If I do this or if I don't handle this situation right, it's okay. I'll have time to make up for it later. Or it really doesn't matter what that person thought. It really doesn't matter, you know, this thing that I said. It's okay. This is Satan as he's whispering to us. Thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. Behold, others he flattereth away and telleth them, there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I'm no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth into their ears until he grasp them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. You know, you guys know from listening to me for all the years that I've preached that I'm a person who I like to look at particular words. I like to look at the wording that we find in scriptures. And you know, when I look at some of these words, and you know, and thus he whispers in their ears, you know, he doesn't make us listen. Satan doesn't make us listen to him. The Lord doesn't make us listen to him. All they can do is offer it up. That's it. And we're the one who has to make the choice. And And we're the one who has found ourselves in the middle of this, where the Lord in His love is calling to us and trying to encourage us and to entice us. And Satan, in his lust for our soul, is doing the same thing. But this is the truth of the matter, is that God and the devil, they only invite. Helaman 5, 85 through 86. And now remember, my brethren, that whosoever perisheth unto himself. And whosoever doeth iniquity, doeth it unto himself. Behold, you are free, and are permitted to act for yourselves. For behold, God hath given unto you a knowledge, and He hath made you free. And He hath given unto you that you might know good from evil. And He hath given unto you that you might choose life or death. And you can do good and be restored to that which is good, and have that which is good restored to you. Or you can do evil and have that which is evil restored to you. You know, man perishes unto himself. It's never been acceptable for my children to tell me that someone else made them do something. You know, and Grace will do that all the time. Easton made me. You know, he never had the ability. Never had the ability. You know, in the years as a police officer, I can't tell you how many times, and everyone who's been there knows that you hear that, you know, that someone else made me do this. And yet we have this choice. We are free to make the decision. You know, there is always an invitation there, but we're the one who has to accept it. We're the one who has to accept it. Every challenge that you face today, every challenge that you face tomorrow, as there are these options put in front of you, as the Lord is trying to encourage you to handle a situation right, Satan is there trying to get you to handle a situation wrong and to bury yourself in it. But all they can do is offer the invitation. All they can do is offer the invitation. And we perish unto ourselves. Is there Romans up there? Is that up there right now? Okay. Looks like a blank. Oh, okay. Romans 6:16 through 8 through 19. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You know, this word yield, Strong's, in the Greek 3936, it says to stand beside. That is to exhibit, to proffer, to recommend, substantiate, to be at hand. You know, to who you stand beside, you are a servant to them. You know, we stand beside something when we offer support to it. We stand with someone. You know, how many times have you heard that or you seen that? You know, that you stand with somebody, and that means that you support them in the actions that they're taking or things like that. You know, this is where we're at. To whom we yield ourselves, to whom we stand beside, that is who we then become the servant of. That word proffer, we don't say it very often, but it's to offer for acceptance. You know, this yield, one of the definitions of yield is to proffer. So to who you offer yourself for acceptance to, whatever that decision is, that is who you become a servant. Or Greek, the Strong's definition for that is a slave. You become a slave to that. A slave. You know, decisions we make oftentimes have consequences to them that we cannot stop from happening. Just as a slave oftentimes cannot stop something from happening. And you know, that sounds negative, but I also like to think of it this way. You know, Paul talks about that he's a prisoner of the Lord, and a prisoner also is very much like a slave, that they don't have any choice. Something is done. And I believe oftentimes when we make a good decision, you know, the Lord tells us, He says, you know, that when we obey His commandments, He said that we are immediately blessed. And, you know, when we are blessed, when we become a slave to the Lord, there are things that happen in our life that are in motion, and all we have to do is go with it. He will take us, and He will do those good things in our life if we allow Him to win the struggle for power in our heart and in our mind. You know, this is something that I think we need to really think about. Why do we give power to one or the other? What is it? 3 Nephi chapter 5, verses 110 through 112. Christ says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And one reason we give power to God or we give that power to Satan is because of where we're putting our hope, where we are putting our treasure for the present, for what happens to me right now, for what happens to me in the future, for what makes me feel best, for what I want to happen. You know, what are those things that we're putting our hope in? Are we laying up treasure in heaven if we're putting our stock in our retirement? Are we giving power to Satan because we're so desirous to have some relationship in our life that we're not willing to wait and to allow the Lord to bring those things about? Is it because I'm so concerned about my current pleasure that I'm giving power to something else? You know, this is where we're at every day. And we need to consider this as we make our decisions, as we make our thoughts. You know, where are we putting our hope? If our hope is for an eternal salvation, it should change the decisions that we make every day. If our hope is for what makes me feel better or more content or more at peace right now, then we find ourselves following after the flesh. You know, the flesh is looking out for what makes the flesh better. My flesh tells me I'm hungry, I want to go and I want to eat. And so we give power because of where our focus is at. And that's one of the things that as mature Christians we need to be considering in decisions we make, in conversations we have, when we find ourselves in a conversation with brothers and sisters and there's the opportunity for gossip. When we find ourselves frustrated and we have the opportunity to lash out or to say something, you know, if it makes me feel better right now, there may be something at play here that I need to consider. Who am I choosing to allow power in my life right now? There's this word that we find a couple times in Scripture, and it's let. To let. Webster's 1828 dictionary says that word let means to permit. To allow, to suffer, to give lease or power by a positive act, or negatively to withhold restraint. So this word let means to allow something to happen, to give someone the power to do something. I'm going to let you drive my car, or to take away restraint. Well, don't let me get in your way from doing that, right? Don't let me withhold, restrain you from this. And so here we read in Romans 6, 12 through 13, it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body." Don't permit sin. Don't give it power by a positive act. I'm going to go ahead and sin. Or to withhold restraint. I'm not going to even fight this temptation. You know, this is the thing that we oftentimes do. And how many times have you done it? When it comes to take anger, for instance. When you feel these feelings welling up inside of you, do you grasp a hold of it? Do you try to fight it? Do you permit it to take action? You know, do you give lease or power to it? This is something that we find ourselves in. Don't let sin, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. That word lust, you know, it's that same thing. It's not about a sexual connotation. It's that desire for something. Desire for something. Vindication. I'm angry about this and I deserve to get my way. I deserve to get my voice heard. I deserve to have things changed because it makes me feel better. It makes me feel justified. It makes me feel like I have been able to do what is right. You know, oftentimes that becomes this vain lust. And it offers up the opportunity for Satan to begin working in our life and beating us down with these things. Neither yield yourself. We talked about that word yield before. Neither yield yourself as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so then the question becomes, what do you do with those thoughts that we spoke of earlier that enter into your mind? Who do you permit? Who do you allow? Or who do you withhold restraint from? When all of a sudden the thought comes into your mind to pray for someone, Do you take that time and take a hold of that invitation from the Lord to offer up a prayer to Him for Him? Who do you allow to have access to your mind when you find yourself sitting there and some thought comes into your mind about something that someone had done to you in the past and you feel those feelings welling up inside of you? Do you grasp hold of them? Do you replay it? Do you get frustrated? Or do you turn yourself over to the Lord and ask for Him to give you a release from those things? You know, when we continually give ourselves over to the Lord, I do believe it becomes easier. I do believe it becomes easier. And likewise, when we continually give ourselves over to Satan, it also becomes easier to continue to do those things. When we permit, or we give power to, or we withhold restraint. Another word we find in Scripture is to suffer. And that word suffer not meaning that physical pain or anguish or those things. 3 Nephi chapter 5, verses 78, Christ is speaking to the people. He says, "Behold, I give you a commandment that you suffer none of these things to enter into your heart. For it is better that you should deny yourself of these things, wherein you take up your cross, than that you should be cast into hell." To suffer is to be allowed to give. I don't know if I have a definition for suffering there. Well, that's an oversight on my part. To suffer, to allow. That you allow something to happen. It's the same thing. We suffer these things to enter into our heart. You know, in Alma chapter 19, verses 13 through 16, you know, Alma's talking to his son Corianton. And if we know the story, we know that Corianton gave in time and time again. He gave in time and time again to the lust of the flesh, to the desire for his own pleasure. And the things that he had done, it caused the people to struggle. And so his father is admonishing him here. And so he says, "Now, my son, I would that you should repent and forsake your sins and go no more after the lust of your eyes, but cross yourself in all these things. But take a few moments before you walk forward and consider what it is that you're doing and examine yourself in your actions and in your thoughts and what it is that your eyes are telling you you want. Because something's at play there." He's warning his son. "For except you do this, you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Because when we walk after our own human lusts, we begin to walk away from the Lord. Because our carnal nature is to do what is best for us. And so often that thought or that thing or that action that's best for us becomes an enmity, a separation with the Lord. Being a Christian is about changing how we look and how we see and how we think and feel about things. Oh, remember and take it upon you and cross yourself in these things. And I command you to take it upon you to counsel your elder brothers in your undertakings, for behold, thou art in thy youth, and you stand in need to be nourished by your brothers." He's telling them, you know, your brothers Helaman and Shiblon, you know, these good righteous men, you need to listen to them and listen to them as they try to encourage you to walk in the right way. You know, do we do that in our lives? When you find yourself struggling, are you reaching out to each other? Are you reaching out? And are you doing that? You know, I'm here to tell you, I truly, truly appreciate so much the body of Christ. And I really appreciate our technology today that I can send out a text message to a bunch of people. And man, I've done it. And several of you out here know it, you know, that you get stuck in this endless group text thing. As I send this text message, you know, brothers, I am struggling today. Would you pray for me? Because I am not going to win this battle if I don't have strength. You know, do we do these things in this power struggle that's going on around us? Verse 16, "And give heed to their counsel. Suffer not, don't allow yourself. Suffer not yourself to be led away by any vain or foolish thing. Suffer not that the devil might lead away your heart again after those wicked harlots." You know, again, in my way of looking at words, you know, I see these things. Suffer not yourself to be led away by any vain or foolish thing. You know, Gary read it this morning, and you think, well, Gary read this morning. It really doesn't have anything to do with this. But you know, I remember years ago, Bob Hedrick, in a study about marriage with me and relationships, we read Proverbs 31. And the very last, it's either the 30th or 31st verse, it says, you know, beauty is vain. Beauty is vain. It really doesn't matter, but we put so much stock in these things. And you know, here Alma is telling his son, don't allow yourself to be led away by vain and foolish things, about those things that you think, has so much importance right now because it only has importance to the carnal man. You know, we struggle with this. You know, my situation that I've struggled, I suffered with this vain desire for vindication. And all it does is it makes me feel better here. It has no bearing on my eternal life with the Lord, but it certainly does on my eternal life if it were to go that other way. This looking at words again here, suffer not that the devil lead away your heart again. You know, not that he drag you away again, but that he lead, that he offer that up, that he tell you, hey, come this way. This is the way you want to go. You know, and here, Corey Anton, I don't know what was going on, but you know, this may have been a struggle his entire life. You know, by the scripture I read there, it sounds to me like he was probably somewhat of a womanizer. You know, he had this desire for those things. That may have been something he struggled with his entire life. And perhaps everywhere he went, that was something that was offered up in front of him, an invitation to look a little too long, to allow some thought to take hold upon his heart. And he had this decision that he constantly had to make. Who am I going to listen to? And recognizing that there is an option, that the Lord is inviting us, and Satan is likewise inviting us. And so I have a couple more slides here, and I want to just to conclude a few things here about how do we do this? How do we let the Lord begin to work in our lives, and what are some things that we do? And I just got an article. I'll call out Erica. An article from Erica that I'm going to publish in the Zion's Advocate, and I was bad. I read it during song service, and it's amazing here. The Lord, he has this thought in his mind that he wants to convey to us. How is this done? And Erica's going to be like, hey, you took this right out of my testimony. No, I didn't. The Lord is got something to encourage us with. James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Secrets are a breeding ground for Satan. We take away his power by taking advantage of the body of Christ. Get it out in the open. Sunlight is the best disinfectant. You know, if we're having a struggle with something, the worst thing that we can do is to hide it. That isn't something that's offered up before us. You know, because the Lord throughout Scripture, He tells us to confess, to bring things out, to share your troubles, to share your sin, to do all of those things, you know, which goes against our humanness. We don't want to do that. I don't want anybody to see me as flawed, as sinful. I don't want you to know what I've struggled with. And so we keep things a secret. And you know, secrets are a breeding ground for Satan. You know, he's able to take that secret, that thing that we've been struggling with that we won't share with anybody, and he's able to beat us with it. He beats us down with it. You know, if it's some situation there, he opens up the opportunity for rumor and innuendo. When if we would simply say, this is what happened, would you pray for me? We take away all of his power. You know, we don't want to confess our faults one to another. We don't want to tell where it is. You know, that word fault, as we look there, I didn't put the definition, but that doesn't necessarily mean sin. It's a hardship. It's a difficulty. It's a struggle. A sin all on its own is not necessarily the only thing that we struggle with. It's the desire to sin. It's those things that are in our life that bring us down, that cause us to struggle. Those are the invitation for sin. And if we're not willing to tell somebody when, you know, I'm really feeling down today, would you pray for me? Would you call me? Would you talk with me? Would you lift me up? Then we give Satan that opportunity to begin whispering in our ear. Then the sin comes. Secrets are a breeding ground for Satan. We can take away his power by bringing things into the light. Sunlight is the best disinfectant. We'll keep going here. James, we'll go back a few scriptures. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now I'm going to go completely Adam here, and I'm going to start defining some of these words. Because as I looked at this, I thought, you know, we're not looking at this scripture the right way. We're not looking at it as complete as I think it's there for us to consider. This word afflicted, it means to undergo hardship. Is any of you undergoing hardship? To be afflicted, to endure afflictions or hardness, to suffer trouble. That word sick from verse 14, it means to be feeble in any sense. Diseased, impotent folk, to be sick or to be made weak. It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And then it says, you know, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And this word save, it means to save, that is to deliver or to protect, to heal, preserve, to do well, to make whole. And then in that same verse 15, we have a different word for the word sick. It says, apparently it was a primary verb, properly to toil. That is, by implication, to tire, figuratively to faint or to sicken, to be wearied. So consider that scripture. Give me a little bit of license here as I put in some of these things and see if we understand how we begin to let the Lord do this work when we're struggling with something. What are some ways that we can give power to the Lord and take it away from Satan? We already talked about confessing, about talking, about being willing to share things. You know, one of the things when I publish it in the Zion's Advocate, read it and consider, you know, Eric did a really good job of talking about how, you know, when someone brings something up to us and they get it into the sunlight, my struggle, my sin, whatever it is, the next part that is absolutely as important is that we pray for them. And probably for us too. You know, the Lord gives us this way that we can begin to overcome these things. So consider that same scripture. Verses 13 through 15 with these Strong's definitions. Is there any among you undergoing a hardship? Sin or some difficulty, financial, whatever it is, let him pray. Any merry, let him sing songs. Is any feeble or weak among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall deliver, it shall protect or make whole those who are toiling, who are tired, or who are weary, and the Lord shall raise him up. You know, do we consider it a little bit different? You know, I guess I a lot of times in my life, I considered this aspect or this act of administration to be for sickness. You know, and I believe it's appropriate, but you know, there are things that are so much more important than a physical ailment that we need the Lord in every bit of His power to help us with. You know, there are these things that we can do to take away power from Satan and to give power to the Lord if we're willing to do it. Are you willing to share what's going on? My struggle, my sin, my difficulty? Are you willing to pray for those who are willing to do that? If you're undergoing a hardship, are you offering up those things to the Lord and speaking to Him and asking others to speak to Him on your behalf? If you're struggling, you're weak, you're feeble, you're unable to handle or feel like you can't handle the difficulties of life, are you asking for the elders to place you before the throne of God, anointing you with oil, emblematic of that unity with the Spirit, to give you strength and to deliver you from that toil, that thing that is wearying you and beating you down? The Lord recognizes what happens when we're struggling. He sees the fact that every time we find ourselves weary from sin or from temptation, that there is the chance that we are going to begin turning away from Him, and He wants to raise us up. Do we take advantage of these things, or do we give power elsewhere because, well, you know, I don't want to make a scene and come up in front of everybody else and be administered to. I don't want to raise my hand and tell somebody about what's going on. I'll tell one or two people, that's it, or I won't even do it at all. You know, secrets. Silence, holding something in, it's a breeding ground for Satan to begin to beat you down. Don't give him that power. Yield to God's leading, especially when it goes against your human feelings. I found so often that when it comes to doing the right thing, it takes me to go against everything within me to do it. Because my humanness wants to be comfortable. I want to just handle it. I'll find a way to deal with it. But the Lord's calling us up higher. And He's willing to hold our hand and to bring us up higher. How is this done? 3 Nephi chapter 5, verse 90. You know, this goes against our human feelings. "Behold, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you might be the children of your Father which is in heaven." And I didn't finish the rest of that scripture. But you know, this is Christ telling the people, you take away power from Satan and you give it to me. You become the children of my Father when you can find a way to bless those who curse you. When someone is mistreating you, if you can find the way from your heart to ask the Lord to bless them, to pray for them, you know, we begin to take power away from Satan and give it to the Lord. 3 Nephi chapter 5, verses 66 through 68. "Behold, I've given you the law and the commandments of my Father, that you shall believe in me and that you shall repent of your sins and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, you have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me, and be you saved. For verily I say unto you, that except you shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." I'm going to tell a story here. I'm not likening us to dogs. But there's something about my last dog that is a quality or a trait that I don't have that I should. You know, my last dog was such a wonderful dog. I stole him from Jim and Kim. And from just a little puppy. And I love that dog. He was such a good dog. And he loved me. And you know, that dog knew when he'd done something wrong. And you know, there were times when he would do something and I would get after him. I would thump him on the nose. I would fling him out of the house because he tore something up or he did something, you know, got him out of there. And you know, that dog always slunk back over to me. You know, he would do it humbly. He didn't want to be in trouble anymore, but he wanted to be close to me. "I've made a mistake. Don't push me away. I want to be close to you." You know, if I look at that, you know, what would I say about that dog? You know, he was brokenhearted that he had done something against me. Dumb dog. And all he wanted was me to be okay with him again. You know, if he could have spoken, he would have said, "Forgive me." You know, and I think about that. Is that how I am with the Lord? You know, when we sin, when we struggle, when we make a bad decision, you know, that is where we have to fight our humanness and this thing that's offered up to by Satan before us, to bow our back, to harden our heart. You know what? It's not such a big deal. When what the Lord wants us to do is to come, even if we have to crawl back to Him. I'm here. I want you here. It goes against our human feelings. But you know, the Lord says if we come to Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, "I'm crushed. I'm ready for you to lead me. Forgive me. I made a mistake. Would you accept me again?" He will receive us. He will receive us. This is how it's done. When we find ourselves, we give in to that offering, that lust, that anger, and we realize it, come back to Him. And when we do that, we take away power from Satan. We take it from him. Be strong in the Lord. You know, the Lord offers us strength. He has a way that we can be strong. And we know all of these verses here. And you know, we've so many sermons preached about this. But every morning when you get up and throughout the day, do you check to make sure that you're wearing your armor? Do you check to make sure that everything's where it's supposed to be? You know, all of us police officers, there's something that you'll see cops doing all the time, and they're always touching to see where their gun's at. Nobody's touched it. It hasn't gone anywhere. But we want to make sure that everything's where it's supposed to be. Are we doing that in our life? As you go through your day, do you make sure that you are still wearing the armor of God? Are you still holding your shield of faith? Are you ready to go forward with the gospel of peace? Is it working and evident in your life? "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I didn't define that word wiles, but that's, you know, the things that Satan is putting up against you to lead you, to whisper to you. You know, if we don't have the Lord's armor on, if we're not preparing ourselves every day for this struggle, for this battle, we're not going to be able to stand against these things that Satan's able to offer us, because he is willing and able to offer us things that make us feel good for a time. He has that ability. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. Don't lay down. Don't turn around and walk away and let the battle rage behind your back. Stand in the strength of the Lord, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, whereby you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you know, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Be active. Be active in speaking to the Lord. You know, you're never going to pray too much. You're never going to have too much conversation with the Lord. Nor is He ever going to be able to give you too much help. If you ask, He tells us that He's willing to answer, and that He's willing to give us strength. And, you know, there's been times in my life where I've been going through struggles, and it seemed like every moment I had to be in prayer. Take me through this minute. Take me through this hour. Help me through this day. You know, the Lord's willing to do it if we're willing to avail ourselves of Him. And so, you know, as we find ourselves today, you know, tomorrow, or even when you step out of here, you know, there's going to be these decisions that are placed before us. We have the offering in front of us. And who are we going to yield to? Who are we going to allow to have sway in our heart? And when there's something that comes on your mind, or some situation that comes before your eyes, understand that you have a choice. It is yours and yours alone. Satan's only able to invite. God's only able to invite. You're the one who has to make the choice. And so be strong in the Lord. Choose the right thing. Choose the Lord. Let Him work in your heart and in your life. And in doing so, we will be the children of our Father, which is in heaven. I hope that you've been strengthened and edified by this in some way, and that God continues to bless us.